that. One of the great teachings of our Lord Jesus concerns the great hour of his coming and final judgment. When we look at chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, in the parable of the weeds or the tares and the wheat, the two are to grow together, Jesus teaches, until the end of the age. And at the end of the age, we are told by our Lord in verse 41 that the Son of Man will send forth his angels and will gather out of his kingdom everything, all stumbling blocks, and those that do evil, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ears, let him hear. It seems that Jesus is teaching that at the end of the age, and there were two ages in Judaism, Ha'olam Hayah and Ha'olam Haba, the age that is and the age that is to come. At the end of the age, the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, would send his angels, and they would gather out of his kingdom all the tares, everyone who does evil, and they would be judged and cast into a furnace of fire, depicting the final judgment. But the righteous, in contrast, would shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This same teaching is brought forth in Revelation chapter 24 and 25. Jesus teaches his return and the gathering together of the elect to meet him at the great sounding of the trumpet. We are told in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, immediately after the affliction of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its utterance, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all tribes shall mourn, which are upon the earth, and they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect out of the four corners of the heavens unto their corners. There is a great gathering together of the elect to meet him, but this is also followed by judgment. And he illustrates that by warning of the unknown hour and how some would be taken away into judgment. He describes two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. One taken to be with him, one left to face judgment in that great hour when Jesus Christ returns. This is continued in chapter 25 in the different parables of the tares, of the maidens, of the tares, and then of the judgment that will take place when the Son of Man returns against people of all nations. It says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his angels with him, then will he sit upon his glorious throne. And this is the same teaching in Matthew 13. He's coming with his angels, and there will be a great separation of the goats from the sheep. And he describes this. Those who were feeding the hungry, the thirsty, those that were giving cold water to the thirsty, were feeding the hungry. He says, come, blessed of my Father, in verse 4, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And they say, when did we see you in this state? And then he will say, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Enter into the kingdom. This seems to go back to chapter 10, where our Lord talked about the apostles and his followers who would go out and share the good news, and those that would receive them would receive a prophet's reward as though it would be that they were receiving him. For example, in 10:40, the one who receives you is receiving me, and the one who receives me is receiving the one who sent me. The one who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous one in the name of a righteous one will receive a righteous reward. And whosoever shall give one of these little ones a cup of cold water in my name, verily I say to you, he will not lose his reward. In the context here, it looks to me like he's speaking of the apostles and others who would bear witness to Christ, and those who receive them well receive Christ. And so I believe when Jesus says, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, he's talking about his emissaries who have preached the word through time, and those who have received their word have treated them well, showing and evidencing their faith. And so he would say, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then, in that same judgment, he then turns to the goats, and he says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And I was thirsty, and you didn't give me drink. And they will again say, well, when did we see you this way? And he will say, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And in this final general judgment, they shall depart into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so the Lord seems to be teaching that when he comes back, there will be this final separation of tares from wheat, of goats from sheep. And along with that, there will be eternal separation and a resurrection to eternal separation. Jesus brings this out again in the Gospel of John, when he talks about the day and the hour of his resurrection. He says in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, that an hour is coming in which the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will come forth, and they who hear will live. He then goes on to say, marvel not, in verse 28, at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come forth, they who have done good unto a resurrection of life, and they who have done worthless things unto a resurrection of judgment. Jesus speaks of what appears to be a great day when he returns of resurrection for every person, but with two destinies, a resurrection for life, for those who have done good. Not that the good saves them, but their good deeds show that they have real faith. If there's fire in the fireplace, there should be smoke coming out of the chimney. and those who have shown that they really do not know the Lord will be raised to an everlasting judgment. This great teaching of the return of our Lord and the general judgment and general resurrection is then repeated, we believe, by the Apostle Paul, by Peter, and others. Paul, for an example, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, talks about the return of Christ when affliction would be afflicted upon those who were persecuting the believers and rest would be given to the believers. And it all happens, according to Paul, when Jesus Christ returns, paralleling the general judgment that Christ had spoken of in chapter 13 and 25 of Matthew and John chapter 6. Paul, for example, writes as follows in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he's seeking to encourage those who are going through persecution and hard times. He writes these words to encourage them. He says, if it is a righteous thing with God to avenge those who are afflicting you with affliction, and to you who are being afflicted, rest with us in the revelation of our Lord Jesus from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall punish with everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his strength, when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled among all those that believe. Again, Paul, it seems, is teaching the same basic truth of the resurrection or of the final judgment when Christ returns, of the righteous and the unrighteous. This is also repeated by Peter when Peter speaks of the return of Jesus Christ and the church waiting for a new heaven and new earth that would take place after the Lord returns. He says the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3 is long-suffering, he says that he wants all to repent. And the day of the Lord is coming as a thief, in which the heavens are going to pass away and the elements thereof. And he says the earth and its works then will be found out in this final day of reckoning. And he said, what sort of people ought we to be then? Because we're looking forward to a new heaven and new earth, in which dwells righteousness. And so since this world is going to be destroyed in judgment when Christ comes to be replaced by a new heaven and new earth, what kind of people ought we to be in holy manner of life and godliness? Again, Peter seems to repeat what the Lord had taught about his final return and the great day of reckoning, of judgment, to eternal life or eternal judgment. It is with this in mind that we should spend our days seeking to follow Jesus Christ, sharing the good news with others, seeking to be ready when he returns, and having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that we can be brought into that eternal life and fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that day of final harvesting and final judgment.